Welcome back to Through the Word, Psalm 83, a psalm, a psalm of Asaph. Asaph, David's worship leader, raises his voice in song in verse 1. O God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. We're at Psalm 83, and you know, after so many psalms, I've seen phrases like this, and so have you, a bunch of times. God, I need to know you're there. Do not be silent. Do not stand aloof. In other words, God, are you listening? Or are you deaf? You'd think that verses like this are an exception. It's someone who doesn't really believe in God saying these kinds of things. But no, it's someone who's honest. This is normal. It's what someone who talks to God a lot is prone to think. You see, we tend to think that only bad Christians ask God questions like, are you there? Or God don't turn a deaf ear. But David, Asaph, and others repeat this in the Psalms all the time. As we said before, this is normal. I've been here before, and so have you. And maybe to think like this, and even to be bold enough to pray to God like this, is more normal than we think. God, are you even there? Verse 2, see how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. The danger is real. The enemy is closing in. I'm new to Star Trek, but as I've been watching it, I notice that when the action gets a little heavy on an alien planet, Captain Kirk grabs his transponder and says, beam me up, Scotty. But sometimes, it just fizzles out. Like the teleport doesn't seem to be working. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. Like, God, I could really use you beaming me out of here right now. But he's not gonna. You're gonna have to fight through it for a while like the psalmist here. God's enemies here are up to no good. See how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. God, if you really care about me, you probably want to get me out of here, right? But when the plea for his own safety seems to go nowhere, Asaph thinks, maybe God cares more about his name than he does my safety. Verse 4. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you. Uh-oh, this is a bad idea. If they come against God's people, that's one thing. But their name is connected with God's name. That makes it a bad idea. Let's continue with verse 6. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagrites, Byblos, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the people of Tyre, even Assyria has joined them to reinforce Lot's descendants. This is a concentrated effort, an axis of evil from ancient enemies who surrounded Israel and have been at war with them for years. The psalmist is saying, God, we're outnumbered and outgunned. Maybe you feel that way sometimes. God, I'm surrounded. I'm outnumbered and I'm outgunned. You turn on the news, the TV, you go on to social media, and it seems like God's people are losing. Like Bill Paxton and Aliens, you feel like radioing up to the command ship. We're getting our butts kicked down here, man. But you wouldn't be the first one to feel that. And you wouldn't be alone. Gideon felt that at times, that it was Gideon against the world. And he wasn't even sure if he could actually fight the battle God put before him. After all, he was just one guy. And the battle was so lost already, but surrounded by his enemies. He trusted God, and he fought anyways. And that's where Asaph goes in verse 9, recalling what Gideon did to the Midianites. Verse 9, do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like dung on the ground. Asaph's mind goes back to the time of the judges, when all seemed lost then too, when the enemies of God outnumbered God's people, when it was game over, man. And then, in the book of Judges, God raised up unlikely characters to turn the tide of battle, like a woman to drive a tent spike right through Sisera's temple, as is referenced in this verse. Verse 11 continues, "Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, 'Let us take possession of the pasture lands of God.'" This again harkens back to the time of the judges, the dark days when the transponder just didn't seem to be working. But there was one person alone, who stayed down on the planet surrounded by hostile aliens, just one who trusted God. And the question I want to ask today is, could you be that one? Could you be the person who is afraid as Gideon was, yet you're willing to trust God? This is important. Recounting the past as the psalmist does when God came through for them, people who stood alone. And this prayer could be summarized as, God, do what you've done before. Do as you've done before. You see, it's easy for us to read the Bible, believing that God worked through them. But it's harder to close that same Bible, get up, and walk out your front door like God will use you. And why not? If not them, why not you? It wasn't Gideon, after all, that was the secret sauce. It was the God of Gideon, just like the God of Bob, the God of Sharon, Mike, Lisa, insert your name here, the God of Sharon. It's the God of you that the enemies of God need to see. And in verse 13, Asaph turns to the natural world to show just how fragile strong armies are. All it takes is just a little touch of nature, like a tidal wave, a tremor in the earth, some pressure under the earth's crust to set off a volcano, a little extra rain or snow, and people are completely at the mercy of God. So in verse 13, the psalmist shows what happens when God finally answers, and nature flexes its muscles ever so slightly. Verse 13, "Make them like tumbleweed, my God, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest, or a flame sets the mountains ablaze, so pursue them with your tempest. Terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame, Lord, so that they will seek your name. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace." All God has to do is tip the balance of nature. You've probably seen during your lifetime how powerless mankind is in the face of a flood or a natural disaster. We all become tumbleweeds before the judgment of God. But note the subtlety of verse 16. Don't just destroy them. Cover their faces with shame, Lord, so that they will seek your name. In other words, turn them to you. Then we don't have to fight them. Turn them to you that they may seek your name. Remember, God's heart was always to bless the nations. From the time he took Abraham apart from everyone else and promised he would bless him, and then, more importantly, bless the world through him to bring the world salvation. Let's continue in verse 18. "Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth." This is important. You see, the psalmist wants them to know God isn't just the territorial deity over Israel. No, he is the Most High over all the earth, over every tongue, tribe, and nation. It's almost like the Tower of Babel all over again. They're going to band together, make an alliance, and tried to take on God. The problem is, as they found out at the Tower of Babel, you can't fight God. He is the Most High over all the earth. The Midianites fooled around and found out, and Asaph's hoping the world around him will find out too. Asaph stands firm and determines to be that one that will continue to trust and to worship God. But Asaph also hopes you and I will determine to be that one who trusts God in our day against the enemies who surround us.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.